Alan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, we're not going to get into the nonsense of whether this is racist or not. It's clearly a racist act. It's mocking black people, Indigenous Australians. It's turning blackness into something that you can put on and take off like an animal characteristic, like a pair of fuzzy ears. I think it's a ridiculous argument that's been floating around whether it's racist or not. But looking at the situation here in Australia, like I say, most of the time people think of blackface as an American racist tradition, and yet here in Australia it seems we have a history of it as well. What would the similarities be between the American and the Australian's relationship with blackface?
Well, you're right. Australia does have a history with blackface and sort of mimicking or aping Indigenous people here. It was introduced by Americans in the early 1800s when these minstrel troops would come and tour Australia, and they were hugely successful here. And so there was, and basically born out of that was a local then entertainment industry that sprung up around white Australians pretending to be Aboriginal people for entertainment, and that continued right up until, I guess, in terms of entertainment around the 50s, but it still continued a lot after that. But I mean, our first feature film with Aboriginal people playing Aboriginal people wasn't until 1950s, which was Charles Chauvel's Jeddah. And so we even though our history of it isn't as long as America's, or as I guess most people are not as aware of it as America's history of blackface, we still have it here, and it's still highly offensive to people of colour and Aboriginal people. There's a documentary called about the 1988 Bicentennial. And very clearly in that, this documentary goes out and views different communities during Australia Day in 1988. And many of the small regional communities all got together and did blackface and pretended they were, Aboriginal people and reenacted the first, the landing of the first fleet. And no one saw anything wrong with that. In the 90s, we had a huge incident with New South Wales police officers dressing as blacking their faces and going to a fancy dress party, pretending there were two Aboriginal men who had died in custody, in police custody, and mocking them. So essentially, we have this uneasy kind of history of blackface. And yeah, I don't subscribe to the fact that it's just solely an American issue and that somehow it's not offensive to people of colour or Aboriginal people here. The latest incident, obviously, Liz's father is Nigerian, so, at the end of the day, it's really up to, it's Liz's, if she feels offended or feels it's racist, then it is. No one else's business to come in and tell her that she's being overly sensitive. But it just is the latest in a long line of incidents that occurred in this country. And you mentioned that a Hey, It's Saturday thing. I think that just really crystallized or brought attention to something that was happening quite regularly. But that was our sort of biggest television show at the time. So obviously it drew attention. Harry Cohn Jr. was a huge international celebrity. And obviously I made headlines worldwide as well. I remember watching the discussion on the US panel show The View, and Whoopi Goldberg talking about the issue and putting it down to, well, they think they did nothing wrong because just look at their treatment of their own Indigenous people. So, a long history of it here, definitely.
Now, obviously, this is an audio medium, so we can't show the images you used in your BuzzFeed article. But I must admit, as somebody who's aware of this issue when it comes up in these different circumstances, but certainly not invested in it, some of the pictures that you used in your article are quite frankly disturbing. You know, to the extent in which you mentioned the case with the two police officers dressing up as Indigenous men who had died in custody, some of them are really quite disturbing, and I don't really see how you can look at that and not say, well, that's clearly racist. But just blackface in and of itself, a lot of people reacted really offended in a really offended way to being called racist. No, this is racist. We're going to decide what's racist and what's not. Obviously, you know, what will probably become an infamous example is Steve Price on the panel talking to yourself the other day, educating you on what racism is or isn't. Why do you think Australians have such a hard time acknowledging racism?
You know, like, there are many theories with this, and I'm Aboriginal myself, but I'm also a reporter, so I canvass a lot of different opinions, and people are definitely not shy in letting me know what they think, particularly on Twitter or social media. But I think the fact is, I mean, you know, in terms of being, I guess, the term settled, we are a relatively new country, which sort of over, you know, 250 years old. And, you know, in that time, there's been an enormous amount of atrocities committed against Aboriginal people. There's been, you know, just look at the Stolen Generations, which we're still feeling the effects of. Look at the insane health gap and mortality rates between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. Look at the incarceration rates. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. All these issues stem from a very short period of time where we've had a concentrated effort to demoralize and sort of dehumanize the First Peoples of this country. And we haven't dealt with it. We haven't matured. We haven't, and basically, I think there's an issue with Australians is that we don't like to discuss this. We just want to gloss over it and move on and say we are the lucky country and we are, you know, we're young and free, you know, as our anthem says. But the fact is we haven't dealt with the ugliness of what we've done to each other. And this is not ancient history. It's in living memory for a lot of people. So I don't cop the comment that I get all the time is, oh, it's old, I didn't do it, get over it. But it's like, well, we as a nation are going to be divided until we can come together and actually acknowledge what our grandparents did, what our great-grandparents did, what we're doing to perpetuate that and whether we're fixing the issue. So I think that allows racism to grow. And unfortunately, we are quite a racist country. I mean, you just have to speak with international visitors who come here. And just their first observation is that they, first of all, they're wondering where people of colour are. Secondly, they want to know about Indigenous issues, but no one wants to talk to them about it because it's almost like a dirty secret or a shameful secret rather than being proud of their Indigenous, you know, Australians being proud of Indigenous people. If you look at places like Germany where it's imperative that they're taught about their history and some of the issues that happened, particularly during the war and the Holocaust. And basically, people feel educated, they feel part of the nation, they own their history, as ugly as it is, and they move forward and they ensure that it never happens again. We don't have that ownership here. We have an us and them mentality, and that's really unfortunate. And you mentioned that, you know, if for too long we've had privileged, you know, white males in positions of power dictating what people of colour should and shouldn't be offended by. And Steve Price is a great example on the project the other night in trying to coerce the conversation and say that, well, you know, Alice, when she did it, she's not a racist. And the fact is, I know, you know, she is not a racist. The act of what she did is intrinsically racist. And maybe she was naive, but it's about finding out an awareness and education. But the most disturbing thing is that then the victim in all of this, which is Liz, who just pointed out very rightly that this was a wrong thing to do, then becomes the perpetrator in the eyes of these sort of privileged middle-class white males who have never experienced racism in their life. So his argument was that Liz was had blown this out of proportion, and you know, and I've read it countless in newspapers as well, that Liz should have gone to Alice privately, not put her thoughts out there. Now she's ruined this young girl's life. It's, you know, so, you know, it's subversive. We tend to then point out people who are the victim of racism or subtle racism or casual racism or oppression or discrimination. We tend to want to then define who they are and what they're feeling. And I find that disturbing. A great example is the Adam Good saga. And during that whole time, the majority of commentators on this deciding on whether or not, you know, Adam really was the victim of racist behavior by by spectators, it was all done by non-Indigenous people who had probably never experienced, you know, an iota of discrimination or racism because of their skin color in all of their life. So at the end of the day, I mean, that's pretty sad how it all came crashing down. Adam's amazing man, his career was incredible, great role model, never involved in a, you know, sort of any scandal whatsoever. But at the end of the day, he had to leave the game as if he was a disgraced person purely because people didn't like that he called out sort of racism when he saw it. So I think sadly that permeates our media at the moment. Hopefully it's getting better, and I think it is. I've seen in the past year a huge rise in people of colour taking back their power on places like social media, whereas before, say when Hey Hey It's Saturday was around, there just wasn't the platforms like Facebook or Twitter for people to get onto and have their own opinion. They had to wait for a newspaper journalist or a radio person to come to them and get their comments. But now people are able to go on Facebook and start sharing and start sharing their experiences with each other and sort of creating a sense of solidarity. So I think that's changing. I think people are taking their power back and saying, well, you know what, mainstream media does not represent me anymore. I'm going to go on social media. But yeah, you're right. At the heart of it, you know, the problem is that other people, so people who aren't Indigenous or people who are not a person of colour shouldn't be dictating or defining what someone feels when they're confronted by this.
Well, Alan, do appreciate your time on The Daily this morning. Obviously, it is a big issue, and it's a pressing issue in Australian society where we really have not come to grips with it yet. Do appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much.